William, having just seen the DVD of the movie 2012 and your work, of course, Stargate 2012, Revelation 2012 as well, you know, I don't think we're going to have that kind of catastrophe. What do you think?
No, I don't think so either, George. But 2012 is... you mentioned my title, Revelation 2012. That to me is one of the greatest like ironies of 2012 that I've ever uncovered. And that is that when you go into the book of Revelation, chapter 20, verse 12, Revelation 2012 is Christian Judgment Day. It's the end time scenario.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
It's like, how can that be? I mean, that is just too perfect that the Mayan calendar ends in 2012 and Revelation 2012, the end time scenario, is so perfectly matches. But what this kind of takes us to is that, to me, is that this whole underlying theme of 2012 is all about transformation. Because, well, two things about that. First, when we're talking about Judgment Day in the Christian sense, we once again want to go back to ancient Egypt, because that's where the idea of the Judgment Day came from. But in the ancient Egyptian conception, Judgment Day was something to be welcomed. This was when the heart of the initiate was weighed against the feather of cosmic truth. And what the divine beings wanted to know was, how loving of a person are you? Had you achieved that state of lightheartedness? Have you shifted your consciousness from an earthly to a cosmic awareness? And so that's what Judgment Day is really all about. And so if we apply that to 2012, that is part of the answer of how we achieve this shift in consciousness, is that we focus on matters of the heart. And this is something we're starting to see really emerge in our consciousness, George, because when you look around, we've got the whole green revelation or green revolution going on, where people are encouraged to drive a Prius and recycle. But when we look at the human body and we talk about the chakras or the energy centers, the heart center is always green. That's the color of the heart chakra. And it seems to me that if we're going to truly affect a global shift in consciousness here, we have to recognize that truly being green is more about driving a Prius and recycling. It's really about, as the law of love says, loving your neighbor as yourself. Easy to say, somewhat difficult to accomplish. But that's the calling of this time. The second component of the end time prophecy in the book of Revelation, it talks about how the believers will be transformed or changed to light to match the body of Christ in his kingdom. And this is the idea of the mystic rapture, that suddenly you're going to have all of these people vanish from the planet. They're going to dematerialize on earth and rematerialize in another realm. Well, that takes us, again, back to the ancient Egyptian idea of dimensional portals and hallways through the heavenly realms, and how we can be dematerialized into light beings and rematerialized someplace else. And that's what we're starting to see entering into the 2012 conversation among the researchers I'm talking with. They're really starting to get onto this idea that this time is all about learning about how we transform ourselves into these light beings and how we access this primordial sacred science of transformation that involves parallel dimensions and stargates or wormholes to these dimensions.
Well, and if, for example, some of these prophecies are accurate at all, what does that tell you then about prophecy in general? The fact that, you know, it could be real.
Oh, it could absolutely be real. And I think we're seeing more and more evidence that it is real. I've been talking with a couple of the 2012 researchers who have really are working on this in a deep way. David Wilcock is one. Mike Barra is another. David is really taking off on some of the rainbow body work that I had done in my book Freedom's Gate, and saying, okay, yeah, the U.S. Capitol, he's convinced, is going to play a very key role in 2012. He's writing about that in his new book. And then I'm also talking with Mike Barra, who's working on that whole torsion field idea, Richard Hoagland's torsion field idea, and applying it to the Mayan symbolism of 2012, where they show that the center of the Milky Way galaxy opening in this, what they described as a serpent rope emerging from the center of the galaxy, with the Mayan savior Quetzalcoatl riding upon that serpent rope. we've interpreted that serpent rope as an umbilical cord, as a perhaps a wormhole connecting Earth and heaven, or connecting Earth with the center of the galaxy. And now Mike is starting to lay on top of that this whole torsion field idea. And we're starting to make some amazing progress in recognizing that these Mayan prophets and these Mayan symbolists, how could they have known this 2,000 years ago when the symbolism's established? How could they know that today, on the cusp of 2012, on the cusp of this new consciousness, that the idea of parallel dimensions and wormholes would be at the apex or the cutting edge of our science? It's absolutely just, it's truly exquisite to me what's going on and how we're, the ancient mind and the modern mind are becoming one, and it's ultimately going to lead us into this new awakened consciousness and get us out of our confinement on Earth and enable us then to enter into the cosmos as cosmic beings.
Not to say that, you know, as I still think, we could get hit with a sun flare or something like that could occur. They may have known something about astrology and knew it, and astronomy in a good way, in a big way.
Yeah, and I know there's a lot of work being done on that right now that affirms exactly that statement, that indeed there is the potential for these cataclysmic changes, but at the same time, it's giving us kind of that extra oomph. It's giving us that impetus right now to really be on it, both from the heart level. It's time for us to really be cleaning up our act and getting straight with ourselves, in alignment with our highest selves, in alignment with the highest potentials that we can imagine for humankind. And it's also saying, let's bring some of this ancient sacred science online now and really start to use it.
Yeah, absolutely. So as you continue to do your work, Revelation 2012, the eye of the needle. What does that mean, the eye of the needle?
The eye of the needle, that came from that amazing conversation that Jesus had with the rich man. The rich man had asked him a simple question: what is the secret of eternal life? What is the secret of immortality? And Jesus said, follow the commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. Do unto others as you would have done unto you. The rich man got kind of irritated with that, and saying he had already done that, doubt it. He wouldn't be asking Jesus that kind of question if he had been living that kind of upright or righteous life. And Jesus responded by saying, I tell you the truth, it's hard for a rich man to enter the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it's easier for a camel or a large object to go through with the eye of a needle, a small object, than for a rich man who focuses solely on the material world to enter the kingdom of God, which is thought of as the realm of pure light and pure love. Part of the good news here, George, is that, hey, nobody's got any money these days for 2012, right? So why not put our emphasis and our focus on accessing higher realms of pure light and pure love? And so, of course, most interpreters propose that Jesus is talking about the needle gate at the Temple of Solomon in Jerusalem, but I just still get the sense that, knowing that Jesus often talked in parables, that he was alluding to something more cosmic. And I think what he's talking about is the opening of the mouth or the eye of a gateway, the eye of the needle, which can only be accomplished by a being of pure light or pure love.